Hello and welcome to Enemies of Good Art on Resonance 104.4 FM. On tonight's show, we thought we'd discuss recent feminist activity around the East End of London, the emergence in the last couple of years of women's art collectives or groups, including VV, of which members are here this evening to tell us all about it, and ask why now. I'm joined by Bex Massey and Ellie Green, the co-founders of VV Art Collective, and freelance musician Chris Brown. And Bex says her work is mostly concerned by the way in which women are represented in the media. Ellie Green, she says her work explores the reinterpretation of personal histories, past and present, through analogue methods. And Chris says that he studied special effects at South Bank University, has worked as a freelance musician, web designer for the past 8 years, and he lives with a founder, is a supporter of the East London Fawcett Group, and shares a flat with one of the women who set that up. So the reason we're all here tonight is because we met at the recent East London Fawcett Group meeting, public meeting. And I keep plugging this because I don't think nearly enough people know about the Fawcett Society, full stop. But also, I was quite impressed by that meeting. And at the end of that meeting, we all headed to the pub like you'd expect. Oh, by the way, I should say we're also joined by Mark, who's on the buttons tonight, and thank you. And Cecily, who's standing on her buggy, and we don't have a video this evening, so it's going to be a series of whatever we can find on YouTube, so that might make for some good radio later. However, to start off, I thought I'd ask you both to tell us a little bit about what the VV Art Collective means and why you set it up and what does VV stand for. Perhaps Bex, you might start us.
Okay, we set up VV after Ladyfest 10. I was the chosen artist, one of the chosen artists to for the exhibition, and Elle was curating the show. And we actually found that there was a major collapse in women in groups which were representing women, especially female fine artists, so we decided to hopefully do something about it. And that's why we set up VV, for a place where women could actually discuss art, try and get their ideas and thoughts out there, help almost a community, but online. So we're publicising them, but they can also interact and see, and skill share, hopefully, so that they look at the way in which we set up the Members' Lounge, for sake of example, is that one person can see that they're interested in the same genre, the same aspects of the fine art, so then they can all get along happily like a house on fire.
Yeah. I think we found, because we're both female fine artists ourselves, that we didn't think there was, well, there's very little structure for artists in terms of helping them to know how to set up exhibitions, to find spaces, and we thought that by working under the name of Collective, we could share what we'd learnt already, which had been quite a hard slog after university, basically help people out in a way that we felt we hadn't been supported once we graduated. So it was about that as well, about providing a bit of a structure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you feel you weren't supported as women?
I don't think so much as women. I think the university framework is that you come out of it and you really don't. Personally, I didn't feel like I knew exactly what I was doing. I kind of had a glimpse of what I wanted to do, but I didn't really know how to go about doing it. I think as women, in a sense, I was a little bit shy at coming forward. I didn't feel, even though I believed in myself and my work, I didn't maybe have enough courage in saying I'm good enough and I should be here. But I don't think as women, I don't think in my university or Elle's university that
I think it's a common problem. It's not something which is specifically related to women, but we found a lot of confidence in working as part of a collective rather than trying to sell ourselves individually, and found that rather than hunting for opportunities to be in exhibitions where we had to pay loads of money and we potentially weren't going to have our work featured, that this gave us a chance to just do it ourselves, really, and create our own opportunities. And that seems to have worked quite well, and more opportunities have come our way since we've been doing it.
So how many members are you?
Over four. Well, we're going to launch some new members at the weekend, so about 45, 50?
Yeah, about 45, 50 so far.
Yeah.
And you can find work for 45, 50?
We're not, in a sense, as such, finding work for them. We're as the opportunities come into us, because we ask the general standard is that they give us three JPEGs of their work, so we have an idea of what they're doing, a brief artist statement, and their contact details, and then we put them on the website. But as well as that, we actually any things that come in to us and we go, well, we can't do it, or there's a handful of our members who would be able to do it, we forward the information to them. So we're not. Because we don't really have enough time to put into, because we're free, it's a free organisation, non-profit, so we don't have enough time to be going out and finding them the jobs like a gallery would.
Non-profit sounds like non-money.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is no money as well, so we're doing it out of the love of it.
We're doing it, yeah, I mean, we're not providing a service in any way in terms of, like, we are providing a service, but it's not in, like, you know, I suppose if you paid someone to do it, you'd get a lot more out of them. The idea is that everyone contributes in some way, and sometimes that works and sometimes that doesn't. So if one person has an exhibition and they promote it through Vivi, then everyone else gets promoted at the same time because people click on the website and see their work. And we try and share, like, whenever we have opportunities and we get promo, the idea is it also comes back on the rest of our artists, because as soon as they look at our website, they get to see what other artists are affiliated with us. But it doesn't always work in this kind of circular way, does it?
You
need proactive people involved.
And what does VV stand for?
VV stands for the sign for women, which is, if you've read the Da Vinci Code, V, and founded by two women, four women, so it was just two Vs for that. And also, if you really easily, a W as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I had noticed that. It was quite good. Chris is sitting quietly in the corner, hoping we won't ask him any questions. Okay, now it's all kicking off in here this evening. Come and sit with us and maybe talk. Do you want to do some talking?
No.
Do you want to talk? Do you want to wear one of these?
No. The last time.
I'm gonna do this. Look, why don't we put this one on? You were very passionate about. I was quite taken by the fact that you even came to the East London Faucet group meetings. Apart from the fact that your flatmate might have dragged you out, but you didn't But you didn't seem so afterwards when we chatted. And you were very passionate about the idea of supporting women and supporting groups and feminist ideas.
I think so. Yeah, it's kind of like, well, living with my flatmate who's the founder of the East London Faucet Group, like you said. I guess with what I do and what I have done for the last sort of, you know, 7 or 8 years working for myself and not in big corporations, this sort of thing in my head, it never really crops up in what I do. And I was kind of unaware that these sort of things actually still happened. And I came along to, when I met you guys, a couple of weeks ago, and I was just coming along to see what it was like and to actually film the whole thing and edit it and put it on the website. But yeah, just the points that were raised during that, the talk that everyone had, just were really interesting to me that these things do still go on. And I think when we were talking at the pub, and I think the main thing that came across to me was that the whole thing does kind of hinge on men and men's perspective and what happens in the workplace. And yeah, I obviously have no real experience of that apart from what everyone was saying at the talk, and I just found that very interesting, in the fact that why shouldn't we have this, you know, equality within the workplace? It doesn't make sense in my head for there not to be that. So obviously, and with the art aspect as well of the talk, it was obviously relating to what I do as well, so I found it very interesting. Yeah,
but you work as a freelancer, don't you?
I do, yeah.
On your own?
Yeah, yeah. I kind of work with actually my best friend. We do sort of music videos as well. But I've pretty much worked on my own and been travelling for the last 6 years and working, 'cause doing web design, you can kind of work anywhere. And yeah, basically been doing that. And yeah, never had a real sort of grasp of the fact that there were these things still going on. And and what feminism actually means, you know, to a man. It, you know, I think a lot of men are scared by just the word on its own, and, you know, what can we do to get men involved in these groups?
Mm. What do you think we can do as a man? What do you think?
I'm not sure. I'm really not sure, because I think there's obviously there's a lot of men out there, but as such as I didn't know about it, but I wouldn't say I have like a feminist viewpoint on things. I just think that's just me as a person. I guess I could call myself feminist. I don't know. I don't know how that really works. But
I think you could.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, can a man really be a feminist?
I don't know.
I think you can. I absolutely believe you can, because my dad's the biggest feminist I know. To be sure. Elle can back me up on that.
Yeah, no, I think a man could be a feminist. I've had quite a lot of guys, obviously when I was doing Ladyfest, a lot of my male friends were saying to me, why isn't there a man fest? And I was like, go and make a man fest. You know what? Like, we made a lady fest because we fancied celebrating the fact that we were ladies, but there's nothing to stop them from doing a man fest. And I would go and buy a ticket, and I wouldn't be, you know, like, offended by saying I'm supporting these guys celebrating, like, their talents. So it's weird the way people find feminist such a difficult word. And I think guys should embrace it. I've met a lot of, like, artist guys lately who have said, yes, I totally agree with you. I'm a feminist too. I think women's work is great and it's not out there enough. So I don't know. I don't think there's any shame in male feminists, is there?
No, I don't see that as a thing. I just think it's like the word as it is. It's like, but where, you know, in these different industries, and, you know, obviously we're talking about art, but in these different industries, the people that it really hinges off, like the men that are causing these things, I guess, causing these viewpoints, I don't know. It's like, are these the sort of men that are willing to change their ways and see a different viewpoint? I don't know, because I don't know any of those men, so it's not the sort of people I guess I'd hang around with. I guess my friends all have a very similar viewpoint.
Tell us about Ladyfest. What's Ladyfest?
Ladyfest is, again, a voluntary-run festival. Ladyfest can happen anywhere in the world. It's a concept more than being a set festival that has to happen at any time. And I think people just kind of land in it accidentally by working working with women's issues or supporting women. I mean, I know I did. I was working as the art coordinator for Storm in a Teacup when we started Ladyfest, and ended up kind of running the whole art side of things just because people dropped out and all the rest. But I think it's more of a concept. It's not... although it's feminist, and it has much broader issues that it covers as well. So kind of LGBT. I learned that when I was working on Ladyfest, what that word meant. And
what does it mean?
A lesbian, gay...
Oh, you can't remember it, can you?
Bisexual, transgender.
Well done.
I was really embarrassed. I put my hand up in a Ladyfest meeting and said, what's LGBT? And everyone kind of looked at me really sternly. I was like, how can you not know? But that's why you're drawn towards these things, because you're kind of still learning, don't you think? Well, I learn anyway, by sheer shame, what LGBT was. But yeah, the idea is that anyone could do a Ladyfest. It's quite an epic thing to do, though, because you have to raise all the funds yourself, and then if it fails or if it doesn't make profit, you then have to raise funds afterwards to cover it, and it can be as grand or as small as you want it to be. So we went quite big with ours.
And where was it?
It was in North London for the most part, but the exhibition was in East London because I couldn't find anywhere cheap in North London to have the exhibition. So by default, it went to East London.
You could find somewhere affordable in East London?
In East London, yeah, because there's a lot of people's, you know, I guess East London is the, you know, haven of artists, and people are still willing to support smaller projects, I suppose. We fell upon a space called Ground Floor Left, and they were prepared to do quite a reasonable price because I said I had a little bit of sponsorship, I've got this money, I need it for a week, what can you do? And they were just very flexible because they're an artist-run space anyway. So, you know, I think you can still find people that are willing to support ideas rather than try and make epic amounts of money out of things.
But it seems to me that there's a lot of... Well, certainly out of that meeting, there was a lot of talk about women's groups and all women's shows, and even a space. Do you have a building, by the way?
We're trying. That's
next.
The next step on Vivi's ladder. Mm. We're trying to secure one by the end of this year, if not in the beginning of next year.
But we'd like our own space.
Yeah, again, it's funding and it's finding the right location, but it's definitely on the list.
So, considering the recent slaughter at the hands of the Arts Council in terms of, you know,
exactly.
many organisations that didn't get their funding.
Yeah.
Do you think that's
It's not going to stop us. It's made it more difficult, to be sure. But to be fair, it wasn't actually the highest ranking on our funding list. So,
we're always going to have the issue. We want to put on exhibitions, and space is always going to be an issue for us. And if we can find a space which we can, in some way, which can pay for itself, either by having artist studios or by having people coming in from outside and renting the space for workshops or different things, I think we can make it into a viable business or
exactly.
make it run itself at least. We don't really it's not really so much about profits, but having a flexible space rather than always each time we want to put on an exhibition having to hunt and find ways of funding each particular show.
I think harder in the short run, but more worthwhile in the long run for the range of things we could do with it.
Isn't it slightly depressing that women have to get together again in groups?
Yeah, but it's also kind of amazing that there's still that need and want that people will actually do it.
It's kind of uplifting.
How many boys groups do you I was thinking about it today. I'm sure I'm going to be totally knocked down for this one because there's loads, but I can't think of any boys groups, or maybe it's around the East End of London, but that's maybe because I'm not a boy and I'm not invited to them, but I really can't think of many.
Should we ask the boy?
Boy?
I'm not sure, not on any specific thing. No, I have no idea, honestly, aside from pub and
football. Yeah,
but men never need to get together and say let's form a men's group.
No, I think
exactly.
just do that. Yeah,
yeah.
It's one of those things. Yeah,
I see both sides of it, but I still think it makes us feel good when it's double-edged sword. Then it makes us feel stronger working together, which says a lot about maybe when we're working singly. But we still follow our art practices by singly by ourselves. So I don't think in that respect it's anything negative.
It's very political to intentionally set up a collective of any kind or a group or a space and say that it's women only.
But strangely enough, we've been we've been absolutely supported by guys that we know and guys farther afield through Facebook. The response we've had from the male sector, in fact, they're the only people who seem to add us. We're trying to find the women. It's really difficult. We get added by about 10 guys a day at the moment.
To every girl. We can't find enough girls on Facebook who are being artists.
I know Facebook is just one network to tap into, but it's for sake of example, the guys seem to really have our backs, as it were.
Do you think that's because there's more male artists than there are female, just as a general number? Or?
I don't think there is more male artists than there are female. I just think guys are better at putting themselves about and portraying themselves in that way, and in that sense, they're more noticeable.
I think women are definitely a bit more hidden.
Yeah.
And their practices. I know that I could have, you know, spent ages just... I'm just happy making my work. I don't necessarily always feel the need to push it out into the public sphere. Maybe I'm a bit of a selfish artist. I just like making. But, yeah, I think women are hidden. They're definitely there, but they're hidden. I don't know where.
Do you think that has... Well, I mean, it seems to me, from what you're saying, there's an issue of confidence there.
I definitely think confidence has a huge part to play in it, because... To the sense that we've both been, for sake of example, both Elle and I have been outside of university realms for quite some time now, and we're more proactive than quite a lot of our friends, but whereas we've kept on struggling and kept on trying, the majority of my friends at university are now to the point that my head of year emailed me and said, are you still doing art? Because my friends are just... I'm not saying... this huge generalisation, again, as I'm so good at doing, but... I think the confidence factor plays a huge part in it, that especially like knocking one's confidence. So you get out of university, you're fresh and excited about the art world, and then a couple of knockbacks. And I know personally, it was really hard to... I can't swear with a child in the room, but it's very difficult to pick myself up again and to say
the audience I'm worried about.
and to keep on going. And so, I think...
Where do the knockbacks come from, though?
Everywhere.
From both.
Do you feel?
What's that?
Do you feel that you've had the same experience? I mean, you work for yourself, so you must in some respect,
have a
degree of confidence to be able
to. Yeah, I guess, yeah. I think it just, I don't know, I really don't know where it comes from. It was more like a thing that I fell into. It was, you know, I left university actually without my degree. And, I kind of just thought, what can I do now? And I was always interested in these specific things, and one was music and one was web design. And I just found myself going into it, and just from, I don't know whether it's luck, I don't know what it is, but my best friend as well, he also went into this, you know, video production side of things. We had this thing that we could connect together with, and we've just kind of gone along together and developed this thing, but we've never really had that thought of, you know, is it easy for us because we're men, or would women have more trouble doing this? I don't know. I honestly don't know how that is it a confidence thing. I don't know.
That's really interesting because, you know, I've asked myself the question, and I'm sure the other two women in the room have also. Well, of course you have, because you set up a collective that's women only. But, you know, we often ask ourselves that question about, is it easier for men? Well, of course it's easier for men. And so, and I don't want to put you on the spot, so you're here to represent the entire male population.
No.
But it's difficult not to. I wanted to talk a little bit about, and I have to, we have a child in the room, and I did warn you I was going to ask this question, so you are prepared. But Chris, you're 32, and both of you, you're welcome. he doesn't look more than 26. No. But and the two ladies in the room, of course, don't look 26. But so I'm thinking that you know, you're very involved and active, and I know that you both work besides. It should be quite nice to talk about as well, because the work that you do is quite important. But at what point, if you are interested in having children, if you think, do you even think that right now you're too young to even consider that it might be a possibility?
Me and Bex worry about the responsibility of looking after a cat. So, not that we're not able, but that we're so
when we're
busy.
Away, we're always away. So when that is logistically, we were going to get a cat last weekend, and we were so excited. And then I had to put my foot down and go, we can't.
She has her foot down. She's the one that
the kitten will miss us too much when we're not here.
But yeah, no, we've got so many things that we want to do before, and that's and I do feel like time's running out. I'm getting a bit old now, but like, yeah, I haven't even managed to get past that stage where my life is stable enough that I could have a small animal and make sure I could feed it and it wouldn't be needy. So I wondered if I had a child, I would just be shipping it around as well, leaving it for long periods of time. No, I'm only joking, but you know, I just don't think there's space at the moment. There's not enough space to be to do my day job and be an artist, let alone
extra bedroom as well.
Yeah. Let alone look after a cat, let alone even start about Plants. Thinking about children. So although I adore kids, but you know.
Well, do you work with children?
I work with kids, yeah. So maybe that gets it out of my system as well, a little bit. I don't know.
In a good way.
In a good way. No, I love working with young people. Like, it's the most exhausting and yet the most energising and interesting job. I really like it most of the time. But in terms of having my own kids, I'm a bit wary about it at the moment. I don't know when I'll be ready. That's really tough. That's a real kind of deep and meaningful soul-searching question, in a way. I was, like, really haunted after we had our conversation in the pub the other day, just going, oh, God, when?
Time's running out.
Don't know.
And at any point through your education, was this ever something that came up in terms of university experience? You know, when you're talking about professional practice and preparing you for life after you finish college, was there ever a discussion with your tutors when they might say, well, do you think at some point you might want to start a family, and how might you fit that in around career plans?
Nah.
They barely prepared us for the art world, let alone the real world, like, honestly, really honestly. But I think
we're not naming any institutions, by the way.
No. I mean, most of I know that working with teenagers, we spend the whole time going, don't get pregnant yet, don't get pregnant yet. So, but that's the other end of the scale. I think at university, it's different. Yeah. Is that a big, sweeping statement? No, it's true, we do. Stay away from boys. And
don't do that.
You don't... Also, you feel the same way that it's...
I would love to have children. I haven't actually... I'm a bit younger than Elle. I'm like a toddler, pretty much. So I haven't thought about it so seriously as of yet. But yeah, I think it is something which is definitely, I'd love it to be on the cards. Unfortunately, I have a condition which would make it very difficult for me to have children. Okay. So that put aside, I do hope so. And on to boy.
Yeah, I guess, you know, you go through relationships and you're always going to think about that. I mean, the way I see it, sometimes it can happen accidentally. Sometimes you can plan for it. Sometimes it can take a lot longer than you'd expect. And sometimes, it just can't happen. So I guess you're never sure when it's going to come up. I mean, what's the perfect thing? Meeting the perfect person. It's a dream thing. I mean, sometimes that just doesn't happen. But aside from actually the concept, the thought of actually having children, yeah, I could definitely see myself having children. But I only think that's because I, spent a good few years with my nephews growing up and just saw how much fun it was to actually be connected. I mean, they're not my children, but they're obviously related to me. And just to see, how similar they are in that way to, I guess, how I was as a kid and, how my sister was. And you just kind of, wow, this is kind of amazing. You're shaping this, kid into a person, and you're gonna, but it is a massive thing. It is a life-changing thing. As soon as you have a kid, you will have to change everything you do. And if that does involve your career, then you really have to go, what can I do now? How am I gonna, revolve this around what I do as a person? Yeah. I think that's one of the major things.
But do you see those changes as negatives?
I don't think so, no. I think there's always a way you can adapt to the situation, yeah.
I think you definitely need a support network around you as well, though. That's really important. I was thinking, I felt really sad for my sister when she had her kid, because she was in the south of France, my mum was in Brittany, my dad was in Wiltshire, we were all really spread out. And I felt like if you were going to do that, it would be nice to have the family around you. And I know that I find it really heart-wrenching that I can't see my niece all the time, because I know, having watched other people's children grow up, how important like the little moments that you spend with kids are. And I think that when I did have my kids, I would want there to be that family around as well, which we don't really, like, in the modern world it's changed, hasn't it? And maybe living in London as well, because we're perhaps more likely to be away from our families, that's a bit, I don't think that, they'd be going round to their grannies every weekend like we used to do when we were kids and stuff like that. The network isn't quite the same either, is it? Is it?
No, well, you're speaking to an Irish woman whose family is in the west of Ireland.
Well, yeah.
So, yes, I do feel that lack of network for sure. And it's something I talk about quite a lot. Mm. But it's interesting to sort of think about, the changes, the possible changes for when you have a child, and how it then impacts upon career aspirations and other things. I personally feel like I'm on a one-woman crusade to convince younger women to have their babies in their mid-20s.
Yes, I have noticed this about you. Elle did say that you asked her to do that twice in one night.
I need to have babies now. Now. Right now.
And that was before any alcohol touched my lips. But I think being in my late 30s when I had Cecily, having that experience and thinking that if I'd had that experience when I was younger, I'm sure I would have got myself together in many more ways younger. Mm-hmm. And so the experience, considering it to be such positive impact upon my life, that she is, of course, apart from the objections to whatever I'm putting up on YouTube at the moment. But had I had this wonderful experience much earlier, then I might have had time to have had two, yeah, for example. Yeah. But do you want some of this one? No?
The mini shadows.
I know, they're good. They require opening, so they occupy a few moments. But the work that you do, Bex, you work in a very sort of, you talked quite strongly about this a while ago, the work that you do, and in terms of being surrounded in a work environment that that means as a woman you're in a particular position. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about.
Yeah. Well, when we were at the Elf talk, I said, I think my point was in a very roundabout question, which wasn't even a question, but I made the statement that don't you think that it's more difficult for women in the working place because women also are harder on them because they need a certain standard or they want a certain standard to be withheld so that the whole woman race doesn't look bad in a sense. And I said about my fight with that the people who I'm working with and the people who work for me on projects, I am tougher on the girls than I am on the boys because I know it's harder for them in the workplace. But yes, and I work in a male industry, so I am technically crass man and artist. So yeah, crass person. So it is a lot of heavy lifting. It is a lot of love and pet, but in a nice way. The guys that I work with are adorable, and I wouldn't change them for anything. It's just the circumstance of the title that I have, and the heavy lifting is so difficult that I slipped my disc, two discs last week, and I've been in bed. So it is. For that sense, it is a male industry because, and I hate to say it, I'm going to go back on what I said at Elf, because it has been termed a male industry because of the fact that women are the fair, okay, please don't get upset with me, but slightly the fairer sex, just through the way in which they're built. I'm not going to be able to lift as much, fact. And although I don't think that is great, and I think that it's rubbish the way in which I'm judged upon that, I also now see the merits where I'm trying to keep up with the boys and I slipped my disc and that was really sucky.
I've got no issue with, you know, it's a little bit like why have a dog and bark yourself, you know?
Yeah.
If somebody is more capable than...
Exactly.
For whatever reason, then... but there's something about a woman doing a man's job and I think that's where, you know, there was a big fight that the second wave feminism very definitely helped us out on. And I personally have no objection to, you know, there being certain jobs that I know I can't do because I'm not physically strong enough to.
Yeah.
But then, of course, the danger is that if we take one example or condone one area, then it's somehow that we open the door for that division again, don't we?
Exactly, yeah.
But, Ellie, you work with children quite a lot.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah.
as far as we're going.
That's
there.
But
there's something about women in the caring roles.
There's there's a massive percentage. Oh, I don't know my percentages. Damn. But there's definitely more female teachers than there are male. And I know that when I was studying to be an art teacher, especially, it was like the boys were really cherished because there was about two or three boys to 25 women. It's like something that women automatically gravitate towards. Or perhaps the guys are a little bit scared of as well because they think it's not appropriate for them. Although I know that guys, you know, there's guys work really well with kids and they, you know, like you don't see many guys working in a nursery, for example, although you do a little bit more now. And there's not that many, there's definitely not that many male art teachers. I don't know how it works out across the rest of the subjects. There's a lot of male science teachers, maths teachers, but not many art teachers. And I'm not sure why that is. I'm not sure why we don't have more, but definitely, my art department is just women, working with women. So it ends up being an awful lot of girl stuff going on. But I don't see why, I don't think that men are any less good at working with kids either. So I don't know why.
They choose.
Perhaps they think it's a bit of a demeaning thing to do, I don't know. But they should do it more, I think. Because, you know, like our girls could use some different kind of male role models, for example, because they're surrounded by women all the time and they live a very women-only culture, and they're separated from the guys a lot and spend a lot of their time with other girls. So
is it a girls-only school?
It's a girls-only school, yeah. But just a bog-standard state comprehensive. It just happens that there's a boys' one down the road, which is also bog-standard state comprehensive. That's an interesting dynamic for school.
Is there any other, like, you know, you're bringing up teaching and that. Is there any other things that you know about, like, which seem to be dominated by women?
Nursing, is it? I don't know.
Nursing, primary education, like learning support, all those kind of things.
Anything to do with caring.
There's an awful lot of women in it, yeah. Those kind of stereotypically caring roles, I guess.
Yeah, does that,
nurseries that were the worst. When I worked in a nursery, it was literally, there was no guys whatsoever. And it was very, again, it created quite an interesting dynamic.
Hmm.
It was quite a weird environment to work in, actually. Hmm. Like, without that kind of balancing out, which sometimes occurs when there's a few guys around as well.
Chris, do you think if you didn't share a house with Hannah, who mm-hmm. has set up the East London Fawcett Group, do you think you'd have engaged with?
No. I don't think so. Because I guess I wouldn't even know. I wouldn't even know it was there. I think that's the point. I think it needs to really get out there in some other format for men to go, what is this? I can come to this? Oh, that's cool. And it was kind of like when Hannah introduced me to it. I mean, she'd done quite a few before. This one happened to be on a particular night when I was free, and I thought it would be really cool to film. And I was like, I'm going to come down and just see what this is about. And I came down and, yeah, I was blown away by what was being brought up and the interactions between the people that were there. And it seemed there was a lot of different groups there as well, which is kind of really interesting. I know we talked about how you can kind of bring that together in sort of a format where everyone can access what's going on, because there was a lot of talk about, you know, how many people were there at the time. It was quite a good number, and there'd been other ones that weren't. And I think that's just to do with, you know, people are busy, or London's a busy place, people have things to do. And I think bringing it together in a format where you can access something and go, okay, I'm free tonight, what can I go and see? It could be Elf, it could be your guys group, it could be anything, you know, and a number of other ones, I think. And that would be kind of interesting, and bring it up. So yeah, this is open to men, you can come along, you can voice your opinion.
But you didn't voice your opinion on the night.
I didn't, I was filming. Yeah. You know, didn't want to ruin the shot. No, I did think about bringing it up, but I guess as a man, I was there. I was kind of there was only one other guy, I believe, in the audience, and I was kind of unsure. I was kind of like, I could bring it up now, but yeah, ended up we did go to the pub afterwards, and I was able to bring up those.
So, did you feel slightly intimidated?
Not really. No, I guess when I first went in there, I kind of didn't know what to expect, but I wasn't there to voice my opinion. I think that was the thing. If I think I've gone there with a point of view, then it might have been different, but I really didn't have a point of view because I didn't know what it was about. So I kind of just went there and just to see what would happen. And then, you know, now I'm talking with you guys on the radio, and it's, you know, and I'm getting more and more into it. And you know, Hannah's really passionate about it. And but in a way, I think that men would actually be kind of scared by that idea and by the word feminist. I think that needs to come across, that it really isn't anything that scary. It's just that, you know, it's just a bunch of women that want equality. I think that's what it is.
That don't hate men.
They don't. That's the thing. They don't hate men. It's ridiculous to think that. And I think that is what most men would think. If you tried to get them along, they'd be like, no, these people are crazy. They're just going to do. And you're like, no, they're really not. They just want to bring these points across at points that you don't know about, that really, you know, are important, and are important to our society, I think. I mean, why shouldn't we have? I think that's my point of view. It's like, as a man, like, why shouldn't there be equality? I don't get it. I don't understand why it's still happening.
And just to sort of, like, let our listeners in on what was talked about that night, there was a lot of discussion about the discrepancy between men and women achieving within the art world. Mm. And a great statistic that came out of the Sotheby's auction.
Yeah.
Mm. On, it was wasn't it something over 200 lots, 19 of them were by women.
Female, yeah.
And of the evening lot, which is the big auction, then 4 of them were by I mean, I didn't even realize that was the case.
I mean, I think I said to someone, I was like, you know, you go into an art gallery, you're walking around, as a man, I'm not thinking, you know, how was this painted by a man or a woman? I just look at the art and I think that, you know, it's there and that's what it is. But yeah, I think to bring that up is, you know, yeah, why is that? Mm. Is it just because there's less female artists in general? And they, I don't know. What is the balance just that way? Is that the way it is? Or is it a real thing like women can't make it in that industry because of certain, you know,
but do you think having children, do you think having children in some way contributes to this?
Never actually thought of it before, but yeah, I think might have a,
I think so.
Might have a bearing on it, to be sure.
Yeah, because I mean, I suppose it's taken us this long to get this far in terms of what we're doing. We don't feel like we've even vaguely
We haven't even scratched the surface.
I mean, I don't think there's particularly anything we're missing, but. Now is the time where I feel I'm finally getting some confidence in my work, although I had confidence in my work before, but actually wanting to promote what I'm doing and wanting to get it out there. And then to suddenly have this idea that I might have to stop and put it to one side or shelve it temporarily whilst I whilst I had kids.
With child.
Yeah, whilst I was with child.
I don't know what I was trying to say.
Confinement.
Growing something. Yeah.
Yeah, your confinement. Yeah.
Because does it not, well, from my experience with my sister and her having her kid, that her brain kind of just went a bit for a while in the whole growing a baby stage.
Oh, I hear...
Do you lose your focus, do you think?
No, I hear women talk about baby brain, but I hear them being referred to as slightly losing something during that period. But I think if you could imagine that you're growing life, and for the first time, if it's your first child, you're going to have to deliver that life carefully and safely into the world with as little damage to yourself as possible, that might preoccupy anyone, no?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think... If women become preoccupied with what's ahead, then I think we should applaud them and support them.
Mm.
But that's all it is. I've never felt at any point like I'm not as sharp. Mm. I'm a little more tired and I feel pulled in a few different directions, not because of her, but because of the circumstances around her.
Yeah.
And state provision for childcare is not wonderful in this country. But, you know, it seems to me that if, you know, we're starting collectives, wouldn't it be amazing if a group of women, young women, started a collective and said, OK, let's get together and support each other so we can have our babies in our 20s and take care of each other and our babies in our 20s. And hopefully our men might join in this collective and just live in a big co-op and support each other and grow rice in the garden or whatever you want to do. But of course, how, you know, we seem to be so individual in terms of, I don't know if London forces us to be individual.
I think London's a very, you know, people come here to work and to earn money. I think that's what they do. And whether they end up staying here and things happen is a different thing, but most people you meet in London aren't from London.
No.
Or they weren't, you know, there's people from all over the place and they've got their own things going on. And that's what makes it kind of great, that you do meet people that are actually quite interesting rather than you get further out from London, people are just like, I don't want to say boring, that's terrible, but...
That is terrible.
No. I've said it now. Can we rewind?
No, I think it's a different pace of life is what you're talking about there, definitely, isn't it? Because, I mean, I have my friends in the countryside and they can't possibly understand why I'm so busy that I can't come down and visit them and stuff like that. But they seem to have more time to have their children and take it easy, and it feels like we're on fast forward all the time.
Probably it's like a more idyllic way of living, to be honest, compared to London. Is like just so intense. I think if you're not used to it,
if you're that busy, why aren't you rich?
Yeah, that's a very good question.
Yeah.
I've been wondering that myself for a long time.
I don't know. We should be. The amount of energy I put into life, I should be getting the same amount out, but it's not quite working out so far.
Isn't this the general perception that if you decide to live in London, obviously we stay in London because we want to make it somehow, or we're afraid to leave because we may become something other than what we are?
But isn't that like an artist thing, though? Like most everyone has that like view of artists being this poor, really poor person. You sound a musician, people go, oh, yeah, all right. I know what that's about. But it's kind of like, you know... Mm. is money the real thing? I think in other industries it really is that sort of, you really want to get money and you want to get rich and then you probably want to get out. But I think when you're an artist, or
it's got nothing to do with money,
kind of,
really.
I think
it?
You do have that different viewpoint on money. Like, you don't, not like you don't want it, but you're kind of going, I'm all right with just getting by as long as I can do what I like. Not saying that, you know, that's a correct viewpoint to have, because sometimes I think if you just really do go for it, you actually can make it, and you can make a lot of money.
But then, making art is an expensive business, and it's got to be funded somewhere. Living in London is an expensive business, so I think I've kind of, in some ways, got the best of both worlds, apart from some days where I just feel like I'm stretched in too many directions. But in that, I've got a job that can pay my rent, which is creative, at least, so that gives me some little joys, in amongst all the data I'm swamped with at the moment and all the rest of the stuff. But then I can also make my work at the same time. What was my point? Is that I've completely forgotten.
About being in London.
But yeah, I don't think it's about getting rich when you're an artist. It's about enrichment, and like going out and feeding off the culture which is out there and the events that people are putting on and the shows that they're doing and the different, like, it's all about kind of greedy, stimulating and inspiring, isn't it, I guess, as an artist. It's not really about making money so much. I haven't quite figured out how I'm going to make money out of my art yet. It's that age-old thing, I don't know. But yeah, it's not really about just going out for the big dollar bill, is it?
Yeah. I mean, I make money out of my art, but not enough that I'd be satisfied with. And just like Ella, I have... I'm in a great position where I'm employed as an artist for a company, so I get that, which obviously comes with its difficulties, but is generally very enjoyable. So it's like, I think the difficulty is if you're in London, you come to be stimulated, you come to try and make a foothold for yourself and get better. But also the day when you start working so hard that you're not actually being able to see the culture around you is probably just as soon the day you actually have to move out.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's a delicate balance.
I don't know where to go from this because I'm distracted by YouTube.
Let's put this one on.
So where do you go from this? Where does VV go from this?
VV.
Will there be another Ladyfest?
Oh, there will be one.
Yeah,
I don't
think
we'll be doing Ladyfest.
We just came back from the Paris one at the beginning of this year.
That was amazing, actually. They were really amazing. They only did a little, comparatively quite small Ladyfest,
but they were a genuine collective.
They worked really well together.
Such a celebration.
And it was an absolute resounding
and
success,
all of the arts were actually integrated, which really helped, that they had the speakers in the same room as the exhibition, as the food, as the music. The music was actually, as it always does, tend to take centre stage. That was the night before. However, it was really, really good. They did a very good job.
We're doing... obviously, we've got our exhibition in January, which we've got an open call for submissions for VV, but we're also hopefully going to be contributing to Women of the World Festival, so that's our kind of short-term plans.
Yeah,
we've got a meeting on Sunday for that. So,
and this is Women of the World Festival at the South Bank Centre.
Yeah.
And this is the second one that's coming up in March.
Yeah, we were involved with the last one in combination with Storm of Teacup, Shebang, and the Bird Nest Gallery. Oh, it's so close. Hosted by Storm in a Teacup, we did talks about collectives and zine making, and it was really good. But we'd like to this year maybe something different or a little bit more involvement.
We want to do something a bit more fine art, but we don't know.
Yeah.
We're putting together a proposal because we didn't think that a range of artists was represented last year, a range of female artists. We thought that art was a bit small compared to the rest of it.
Which was done so well. Mm. So if we can in any way try and make that a little bit more diverse, we're going to try.
And I think they would recognise that as a valid criticism as well. Chris, will you be visiting Women of the World?
It sounds great. Why not? I've been doing this. So, yeah, I think I'll go to a lot more things now. And I think just try and get out to more men as well, that there are these things going on, and go along and see what you think and pass it around. And
It did strike me last year at the Women of the World Festival at the South Bank Centre, and it was over International Women's Week, around International Women's Day, and the centenary last year. But it did strike me that there were very few men milling round the South Bank Centre on that day. Yeah. And those that did attend the talks did stand out like a sore thumb, only because of their small numbers.
Yeah, I think it might be more of a, you know, they don't feel like they can go to it.
But do you think the title of it somehow is off-putting?
I think, personally, I think it's less off-putting than Ladyfest. But then not many people, not I didn't see many guys go to Ladyfest either.
But
so
Ladyfest is associated to lots of other different kind of eras as well of feminism, I guess. So, you know, and people just assume it's women only. I don't know, well, guys assume it's women only.
I think Women of the World sounds great. It sounds like it's celebrating all the best women that have ever gone before and will come again.
But how do we make that something that guys are interested in?
Why don't guys want to come
be,
and
though,
celebrate that?
That sounds
really
interesting.
There's women everywhere. I don't understand why it's not interesting. Sorry.
I think they need to understand like why they should go to it, you know, and the issues, but, you know,
well,
behind
then I think
the fact that there is that.
Maybe something that needs to be brought up at the at the meeting at the weekend. Are you going to the meeting at the weekend?
Yes.
Well, I think last year they were saying, how do we get a younger demographic? Or how do we get younger people involved generally in this festival at the South Bank? So this year maybe it should be, how do we get men involved a little bit more, you know?
Well, it seems to me that, you know, we can keep banging the same drum unless we get the other side on board.
Mm. It's not going anywhere really, is it?
That's, I think that's the key, yeah. Not the... the whole key, but definitely that sounds terrible. But yeah, it's definitely one of the keys for one of the doors.
That's part of the puzzle. We've kind of got to fix it all together. It can't just.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, it's like a filtration system. As soon as you free one of those things, it would open up, you know, a lot more things to come in and be interesting to.
The best irrigation in the world.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cecily would now like to offer her opinion. You're going to talk in here? Are we going to say hello? What do you want to talk about? Did you have a good day at nursery? Did you try to bite somebody at nursery today?
A squirrel bite me.
Somebody bit you?
A squirrel bit you?
Fall down.
Did you fall down?
Yeah.
Can you hear yourself now?
Is she going to give us the kind of summary thoughts to kind of end this?
Final thought, Jerry Springer.
Some words of wisdom.
Do you want to say more?
Yeah.
What do you want to say? Do you want to sing a song?
Yeah.
What do we sing?
Pink.
Pink?
Yeah.
What about I Want to Move It, Move It?
Yeah.
Do you want to sing that one? Go on, sing it.
Sing it.
I like to move it, move it.
I like to move it, move it.
I like to move it. Okay, so there we go.
That's it.
Can I have these back?
No. I think that's the key.
That's the song of the hour.
Like can Mama have these
I
back?
I like to move it, move it.
You can have them back. You listen to those. I think that was wonderful. I've got more here. You can have those and I'll have these. We should sum up on something positive in terms of don't walk away with those or we're going to be in trouble. In terms of what happens, how we somehow make things better, because that is what we're trying to do, isn't it? And we're all going to be out on the 19th of March, on the 19th of, keep saying 19th of March, on the 19th of November with the Fawcett Society to demonstrate, you know, and how the cuts are going to affect women in particular. Mm-hmm. Are we going to be dressing up in 1950s gear?
Oh, I didn't know that was criteria.
Yeah,
now that
like
I do,
that.
Yes.
I'm thinking already you've got the hair for it. But so the march starts at Temple. You can talk, but you want to sit on Mama's lap and you can talk. The march starts from Temple Tube Station down by Embankment. And Cecily's contributing also. Can you? Yeah, it's okay.
Yes.
Yeah, you can talk. You can talk.
And
it starts from Temple and it will march. Let's not touch. Okay, that's enough now. Is that good? And so we're hoping that women are going to come out in large numbers to support. And men.
Yeah.
And men. But I'm thinking it's going to be mostly women.
I'd imagine so.
But if the current cuts put us back to, you know, the 1950s, what hope is there for us? And
that's such a difficult one to end on. There pretty much isn't.
There is no hope.
I wouldn't say. I think.
Do you feel angry?
I do. I don't really want to say angry because angry and feminist equals rubbish, and people want to run the other way. I feel disappointed. And I feel let down, but I think with groups like ELF and what we're doing, and all the other groups, which is as Storm and Teacup, all of the other women-centric groups which is popping up, I feel like we can actually have a voice and we can try and reclaim it. And as you said, Chris, if we just get guys on board, I think there is absolutely hope. It's just doing all of that. It's difficult. It's time-consuming, and it's not going to be much fun at the beginning.
Yeah, I think, you know, we all just need to continue to be proactive, and you know, women have been fighting for a long time, and we've got actually quite a long way already compared to how we were even at the beginning of the century. You know, a lot's changed in the last 100 years, and there's no reason why we can't keep making change. And we're great believers in kind of homegrown change, yeah. So we just make our own change, because if it's annoying us or, you know, standing in our way, then we just create something of our own to kind of counteract it. And I think people need to keep doing that, and I think it's quite empowering to do that, just to, yeah, rather than thinking always about the obstacles, to create your own solution and just think, stuff it, I'll do it myself then. If you're not going to provide it for me, I'll create my own opportunities.
Yeah, do it yourself.
Yeah.
And Chris is going to help us build a network that's going to connect us all together.
Yeah, I hope so, yeah. Especially on the web, I think it'd be
a really interesting
thing to have, yeah, definitely. And just think more men just get out there and have a look into these things. If you're that way inclined, if you didn't know you were, then...
And on that note, with Cecily screaming for a wee, we're going to go now. We're going to say goodnight. Goodnight. And thank you to my guests.
Thanks.